And now let's continue the conversation with SDPB's Kevin Wooster. You can find his blog at sdpb.org/Wooster. Kevin, welcome to the program.
Always good to be here, Laurie.
10 years you've been covering uranium in South Dakota and paying attention to it on a long-term scale. Is there anything new in this conversation now? Has the situation changed?
Well, I guess you could say it's changing a little bit in that we might be getting within a couple of years of some final decision on this. I think Mark Hollenbeck has been, I think, with this company for 11 years or 10 or 11 years, and the company had started the process a year, I think, before they hired him. He's also, by the way, which is always kind of an interesting point, an organic rancher down in that area. And that's one of the issues that he and I talk about is, you know, antibiotic-free livestock. He's done some of that with cattle, with sheep, and different kinds of fencing to manage grasslands so that it's more productive without damaging the grasslands. So he's kind of an interesting dichotomy of a source here, because we've got these two issues that seem contradictory, and he would argue that they're not. He thinks that they're within a couple of years, if it works out, of mining, if, you know, and which would be great for him and for PowerTech, and not so good for the people that are opposing it.
How contentious is it from the people who are? It sounds like PowerTech is patient. Are the people who are opposing it patient as well, or is the intensity sort of ramping up for them?
Oh, I think PowerTech is impatient for obvious reasons. They feel like if the price comes up a little bit and closer to where it was when this all began, they've got a good product that they can feel like they can mine in a safer process than it used to be, and I don't think anybody can argue with that back. You can go to parts of the Edgemont area and see these old strip mines left were unreclaimed and just kind of hack up the earth and take the uranium out and possibly even put the workers at some risk and not really do much after that. So this process is worlds improved from that, but it's still an unsettling notion when you start drilling hundreds, maybe thousands of wells down, you know, the injection and extraction wells down into the earth, and you wonder where the water moves and how it moves. And those are complicated issues that I've been trying to understand them for 10 years, and I'm not sure that I'm entirely there yet.
Is there cleanup work that still needs to be done? Is that ongoing? What happens to the old school strip mining?
Well, you know there's uranium cleanup ongoing across parts of western South Dakota, from the northeast or the northwest part up in the Cave Hills. I've done stories up there, and I think the public broadcasting has as well, about the ongoing efforts there. It was a terrible rush to produce uranium back in that in that Cold War era and early on in the energy game, and it was just at any cost, and it was before the environmental regulations that we deal with today, and nobody knows more about those folks than those regulations than Hollenbeck, because there are state issues or state permits that will be involved once the federal issue is settled, presumably. And the Nuclear Regulatory Commission has some role, the EPA has a big role, and the state Water Management Board and possibly the Board of Minerals and Environment still could have a role in all this. So we've done a lot to protect ourselves. There are still issues there. I mean, people always ask me, do you think it should happen? And I say, well, if I had my druthers, no. I mean, I'd say no to a lot of things. But if you're serious about climate change, I asked this to a group of fairly liberal friends of mine not too long ago. Everybody here who believes that you can't really address climate change without thinking about more nuclear energy, everybody in the room just about raised their hand sheepishly, because people hate to talk about that. But it's an energy source that's helpful in that fight, and you know that's the argument that Hollenbeck would make. He argues the footprint is smaller. I don't know that I would argue that it's smaller than wind or solar. There are certainly footprints there, certainly smaller than coal in the way we handle that and the impacts of it. But it's also radioactive, and that scares people with good reason.
Much to talk about there and in the future. Before we run out of our time today, though, Kevin, I want to talk about the current blog post. I know you'll be working on some uranium work in the future, and as we all will be watching this story closely. But we're also watching some other things closely, and this time it's Dusty Johnson. So tell me about what happened this week and your impressions of the kickoff.
Well, he pulled me off the uranium stuff because he had a three-event day and started out yesterday here, and he's the guy that our friend Denise Ross referred to as the happy warrior, and he's an upbeat guy, he's a high-energy guy, he's a 40-year-old guy that looks 20, and when he was 20, he looked 12, and same at that 30, but boy, he cooks when he hits the trail, and he's won a couple of statewide races with PUC. He understands the process through his work as a staff member for Mike Rounds and later as chief of staff for Dennis Dugard, and now in the private sector. And I think the race between Dusty Johnson and Chantel Cribbs is going to be an exceptional race, mm-hmm. very competitive, and going to really give Republican primary voters a choice, and maybe a difficult choice for them.
And he's already getting questions about President Donald Trump. Is that how does that play into the things people are asking him, and how is he responding?
Well, he sure got them from me yesterday, and he got some from Lee too. We kind of tag teamed him there, and I just don't think you can escape that. If you're talking about going to Congress now, you have, and I think we're going to see a new question just about every day, aren't we? I mean, doesn't Trump make some new news every day and breaking news every day that often makes people shake their heads? And his response was pretty good. It was, as I said in my blog, there was just a slight bit of tap dancing around certain things, because you don't want to get crossways with Donald Trump if you're a Republican, and in a state where two-thirds of the people voted for him. But yet, Dusty Johnson is opposed to the kind of name-calling that Donald Trump is so commonly known for and good at, I guess, if you can use that phrase. That's not who he is. And it's never who he has. He's never been that. So he was pretty clear about, first of all, the Russian investigation, that he doesn't have full confidence in the House because of the partisanship. He was hopeful for the Senate, but also believes that if we need an independent, we should have it to get to the bottom of it. And that was before the former FBI director was named as a special counsel by the Justice Department yesterday, a few hours later. And that's how quickly things change with Trump's presidency. 10 o'clock in the morning is not 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Things can just absolutely go crazy in 2 or 3 hours. Hmm. He's going to answer a lot of questions.
Yeah, and in your blog post, you quoted him as saying, if you want somebody who's going to respect the political opposition, then I'm your guy, he said. And it's all about respectful disagreement rather than personal attacks. And I'm wondering if that plays well in the current political climate. Do voters want someone who respects the opposition and makes, of course, he didn't say he'd make compromises. He said he would respect the political opposition.
You tell me. He will look for, if he's elected, he will look for ways where you can reach a compromise. Obviously, right. He's going to push a conservative agenda. That's what Republicans do in South Dakota. And the question is, will Chantel Cribbs, how far right will she go? Because as I say in the blog, the hard right members of the Republican Party in South Dakota are obviously most influential during the primary. And people in any state are nervous about Tea Party type candidates challenging them in primaries or attacking them, you know, supporters attacking them. So we'll see if Dusty Johnson is able to keep that pledge, how Chantel Cribbs, who I don't think has made quite as firm a pledge about not attacking the other side, she doesn't seem like someone who would do much of that, but we haven't seen. And if somebody feels like they're behind, will they start swinging hard? And how will the other side respond? If Chantel Cribbs hits him in the nose, will Dusty hit her back? I don't know.
Much remains to be seen. And then you can see the blog, sdpb.org/Wooster, and you can get a little William Wordsworth there as well as we play on the happy character of the happy warrior. Did you just find that poem after Denise?
Always should have a little William Wordsworth, don't you think?
I think so, too. What else are you working on, Kevin, here in our last minute?
I'm going to stop and see a fellow named Kansas Little Tent tomorrow at the Lower Brule, down in Lower Brule, about a program that he's working on called Native Hope. And I'm very encouraged by this program. It's one of the encouraging things going on the reservations, and I really look forward to that and to writing about it. Mm.
Kevin Wooster is an SDPB contributor. You can go online and see his blog about Dusty Johnson and how long the happy warrior will walk the bright path, and then more coming up from Kevin. Every week he's with us here on Thursdays. Kevin Wooster, thanks so much.
See you later.